Okay, so welcome to Warhammer Podcast Episode 3. I'm Barry.
And I'm Paul.
Okay, so today we'll be talking a little bit about the game we've played and a lot about the orcs. And the episode is called Orcs is the Best.
Orcs is the best!
Always the best.
Right, okay, so we have just played a 2,000-point game. Barry used High Elves and I used Orcs.
High Elves.
And we'll talk about that, and also then we'll fit in the review of our Orc army.
Okay. So, John, Paul, what have you been up to since last show?
I've been up to quite a bit, actually.
Always quite a bit.
I mean, we're recording on the 27th of December, so since we recorded last, I played a big game of Warmaster here, a 4,000-point two-player aside, with another one watching here in my studio, let's call it, or my
Batcave.
And that was really good fun, actually. That worked. The game scaled up really nicely. We played it as two 2,000-point sides at each. It was Empire and Dwarves on one side. I was the Dwarf player against Cathay and Nippon, both very interesting armies, both in the fluff of Warhammer, but never represented in the old Hammer game. And it was a very good game.
Did they have miniatures for those?
I don't know if they did, really. Okay. But
were they token armies?
No, it was all miniatures. Jim, the runner of the Saffron Walden's army, brought the Cathay and the Nippon, and he used them from alternative miniatures. Nippon are Japanese-y style. That's clearly what they're based on. They use like samurai, and the Cathay are more Chinese-y. Very stereotypical. But it was good. And that's something that was basically takeaway point is the game scaled up really nicely and played really well, and we finished it in very good time, actually.
Okay. And what was the result? You and Alex?
Me and Anthony, we won Team Old World, like, despite Anthony's abysmal empire, like, jet rolls, to begin with. It was hilariously bad. Like, his cavalry never moved. But we eventually did win, because we ground out the Cathay army opposite me, and then we could both concentrate on the Nippon. That's roughly how it went down. But it was a lot of fun. I recommend Big Games of Warmaster, definitely. And I have another one coming up in 3 days' time on the 30th. I'm actually going to Warhammer World to play in a large 6,000-point-a-side game, which is going to be Mono Dwarves one side. I'm on that team. Against Right Chaos Collection, I think. That's with Alex and Jim from the Saffron Warden and a few other people they know. So I'm sure next time I record it, I'll give you a quick rundown of what that was like.
Okay, cool. There's an outside chance I might come to the Nottingham
yes
thing. But family life gets in the way sometimes, and I haven't really done much apart from family life for the last week, but we had a good game today, so we'll talk about that. So I played High Elves. It was a pretty standard High Elf build, I think. I just didn't take any chariots because I don't really fancy them. But apart from that, it was pretty standard, and Paul played his normal kind of one-of-everything orc.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've never played Orcs and Goblins before in Warmaster, so I went for one-of-everything. I had my collection of two shamans, orc shamans, two goblin shamans, a cat orc hero on a wyvern, an orc hero on foot, and an orc general, a unit of giant boar riders, black orcs, trolls, and ogres, wolf chariots, a rock lover, and a wolf riders, all one of each. And then I took eight orc warriors, which is four above the minimum, and the four minimum goblins as well. That's what I took.
Okay, and the way I played the game is I got first turn. I also got to deploy first, and I chose sides, and I just went up Paul with my flyers and tried to disrupt his command.
That was on my right flank, it was a turn one manoeuvre. I didn't, to be honest, I was such a, I mean, I an unfamiliar army, I just stuck it all down on the table, like, because we were playing on the clock, and I was like, don't overthink it, just do it. And Barry saw an opportunity with his flyers, went for it against it was against Goblin Wolf Chariots and Wolf Riders. But ultimately, the flies ended up dying they did damage, and they ended up dying in the return turn.
But what I was trying to do was cause confusion, like, as far as giving orders. But Paul had cunningly decided to take the crown of command or whatever it gives you a leech.
I think that's something we'll talk about in the list. So when we come on to like the orc and goblin list, like I went for something which you could say is almost the orc and goblin magic item, but we'll come into that on the main topic.
So we'll just shortcut. It was a good game. It was a lot of fun. It went really down to the wire. In the end, the elf shooting won the game, and it was 10-9.
Facts of the game, both of our armies were breakpoint 10, which is impressive for a high elf army to be the same breakpoint as an orc and goblin army. But Barry won it 10-9, and we were both rolling dice to break the other at the end of the game. you know, highlights for me was I managed to tank five out of five six arm armor saves
that
at one point.
Yeah, it was like
that's nice. I took a photo of that. What are the odds? And then another one was me. It was my giant going running off to charge down some bolt throwers, and then just dying very Lord of the Rings style to like many bolts and everything else. I should say, like we mentioned Lord of the Rings. Today has been a I've tried to go through all of the Hobbits and Rings extended edition films, failed it because it's just too long, but I'm very much in the character for fantasy at the moment.
And the kind of low light of my game was that I charged two units of Silver Helms into a unit of trolls supported by goblins and lost. I did one wound. One wound.
Yeah.
I rolled 24 attacks and did one wound.
Barry has a nice little chart here that shows the mathematics of things. And, yeah, it was an amazing spike to me. Because I just, out of all those attacks, I took one hit. That was one wound, after all.
I should have done eight wounds. I did one wound.
Yeah, my trolls won that fight. Trolls are the best.
Trolls. The trolls are very good. Okay, so, right, we've talked about that. We'll talk about who are the orcs?
So, okay, in Warhammer Fantasy, Old Hammer, orcs are everywhere. Essentially, they, I think as fluff goes, they were like a slave race in like made by kind of chaos dwarves. Basically, they've always been in the old world, and they kind of grow from fungus, and you just can't get rid of the damn things. And, you know, they're this kind of race that, like much like Skaven, if they would actually work together properly, they would, you know, win. They would, like,
rule the world
quite easily, because there's just too damn much of them. And, but they can't. They spend more time, as much time as fighting anybody else, as they do fighting each other. And, you know, they're very tribal, you know, orcs and goblins. So you have your ranges of, like, snotlings going up to goblins going up to orcs. They're all green-skinned. They all talk with Cockney accents or something like that. Yeah, right. And, they are your very typical fantasy race. And they, in the fluff for them in Old Hammer wasn't well. I mean, there's been notable orc warlords and stuff, but then as a culture, they don't write really anything down or, like, collective memory. And it's just about, like, you know, they're not too scared of dying, the orcs, really, because they just like to fight, and if they die, they'll come back and have another go. You know, like, so it's like they're very funny army. A good orc and goblin, like, rules set means that you can't take them too seriously. And I always found that weird from a wargame point of view, is that sometimes very serious players want to play a very random army.
It's like a sorbet.
Yeah.
You can't worry about it because you can't control anything.
Like Amnosity. Amnosity doesn't feature in Warmaster, but like it does in a goblin list you can have. But like in the Old Hammer, they would have Amnosity against each other, and that basically orcs would argue, which I think is hilarious. But, you know, people would get annoyed with such a thing. Anyway.
Well, don't play them.
Yeah,
is the answer.
They're an inherently random army, but what you do get is your average orc is a better fighter than a human. He's tougher, and that's represented in the game. Goblins are a bit weedier, but they do all the sneaky things that orcs can't be bothered to do.
So, as the baseline is going to be Empire that we talk about. So, the difference between your orc warrior and your Empire warrior is that you get an extra attack, but you lose an armor. Is that not right?
They're both six of armor save. Orc warriors. We're going now on. So we've talked about who are the orcs and say like they're the typical fantasy race. So the orcs list and rules. Okay, so starting from let's go from the characters first. So your orc now, the biggest thing in Warmaster is commanding of the army. The game is about how a player commands their army. Now, the problem is orcs have the lowest command of any army. Their general is command 8, which is a point below anybody else.
It's the same as a hero for anybody else.
It is truly awful. But they are the worst at it.
That 8 can easily get modified to not be an 8.
Yeah.
There's certain times in the game where an 8 is really a 6.
As we'll come on to it, trolls, which are given negative 1 in the first place. Anyway, so your general is pants. He's rubbish. But I think he might as well have this item fixed onto him as a plus one called a Crown of Command. Now, that is basically a 100-point magic item, so it's pricey for what you get. But it allows your dude a first order on an unmodified 10. So that doesn't matter for anything. It's a 10.
Yeah, that doesn't matter if you've lost your stands.
No,
it doesn't matter
if
there's anything here.
If you ever rolled at 11 or 12, though, the crown breaks and you ain't got that anymore. But it might is yeah. It, I in my head is like the Orc General is the item that is 4, because every other general is like command 9 or something, and he is 8, so he gets the most benefit from it.
He does, but by the time you've put in your Crown of Command and you've put in your Wyvern and your combat hero, you're down to breakpoint 10. And if you'd have been breakpoint 12 or 13, you'd have possibly won that game.
I'd say, like, think with my army list, because I want to try one of anything, but I didn't. If I was to play Orcs again, I would try to get more on the table, I think. I don't know. It's like, there wasn't. The breakpoint was too low, even so. I mean, it was
the same as an elf breakpoint.
Same as high elves, and that shouldn't be the case. So, anyway, it's a risk, but I wanted, I say, normally. The only item I'd normally consider for a general is like an orb of command, but just to give you a reroll on some dice. But
it's a one-off reroll.
It's a one-off. As far as I'm concerned, it's the only item that you'd give a general aside from that, even if you decide to give the other one. So okay, then you've got your orc hero standard. Like you can put one on a wyvern, a terrifying character, and the list has two sets of characters. You can have goblin heroes, not very good, and you can have orc and goblin shamans, which at the end of the day all cast magic, so you've got the army has a lot of magic users, two times more than is normal. So let's talk about the
orcs. That's one of the definite strengths of the orcs and goblins, is the magic.
Is their magic. So they've got a foot of gork, a 6-up blasty spell, a geroth, which is probably the best spell, a 5-up push a unit away, so you use that to push artillery off the table.
Yeah, you were confusing lots. I mean, I'm not sure. We need to check whether or not you do actually cause confusion, but it was causing a lot of confusion.
Yeah,
not sure, the last game we played, I used that. That it causes confusion.
Yeah, well, that's something to check. Anyway, it's a spell that shoves a unit 5d6 back towards the table edge, which is great for picking on artillery. You have Gotcha, which is another blasty spell, and a Wow, which is a unit, Orc and Goblin only, did matter in this game, plus one combat, because I wanted to cast
one
like,
troll,
anything
ogres.
That an Orc and Goblin, I can't do it, it's like this Wow. Anyway, so the strength is, the thing is, they're shamans. Then you have, running down, this is in order of points cost, you've got a giant, which is the monster of the list. 150 points gives you 8 attacks, 8 hits, and a 5-up armor save.
It lasted less than a turn, L-shooting.
But it's it can't be a brigade of other things. It has its own, like, if it fails an order, it does its own mental thing. This is the randomness of the list. But if you do get it in the open, it's giving you 10 attacks, and it causes terror, which is, something to consider on a cavalry base. Ball riders, which are your
And it can be brigaded with other.
It can only be brigaded with other giants.
So if you want 3 or 4 giants,
well, that's interesting if you're going to try that. I think really you try one for the fun, but more I don't know. Anyway, so you have then ball riders, which are your atypical cavalry.
Except again, more hitty, less
one
armor.
One attack, less armor, which is the common feature compared to Empire, like running through the Orc and Goblin list. You've got Black Orcs and Elite Infantry with 110 points, gives you 4-4-5. So one attack better than Dwarf Warriors, but one less armor. Common theme. Trolls is this. Now, in the army that's got the worst command, you've got Trolls, which give a -1 command.
Yeah, that's lunacy.
But
I think with your 10 auto command,
there might be
command.
A way to run Trolls. But basically, I think as playing an Orc and Goblin list, it seems to me that it's about waves on. Don't over anticipate what you're going to do, and you're going to send the army slowly in waves of brigades at the enemy in a way. Like, you're not going to get something across the table because you just don't have the command to do that. Anyway, and trolls make it even worse. But for that, for 110 points, you get 5 attacks, 3 hits, and a 5 armor save, and a way to regenerate a hit at the end of each round. Basically, you get 5 attacks in something with armor. Now,
six attacks on the charge.
Yeah, it's an interesting points to attack ratio there with trolls.
Because normally your 5 attack infantry have no armour.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so these are good. They're concerned that they didn't face up too well to the elf shooting, but then nothing does. That tends to be the way that elves win. They just shoot everything off.
Shoot it out, says boss. That's horrible.
Shoot it all. Kill it.
So then you have ogres, which are... Now, it's interesting, because, so Old Hammer Fluff. Ogres are with chaos and with troll orcs and goblins. You can get an ogre list as well separately, but anyway, ogres, they have a unit of ogres in the list, and they're a 4-4-5 infantry unit for 105 points who've got to use initiative to charge humans quite randomly.
Okay, yeah, and again, you can only have one per thousand.
Yeah, so with the Black Orcs, they're like you're a little elite infantry.
Well, they're 5 points cheaper than Black Orcs, but you have the negative trait of having to charge humans.
Yeah.
Which is not, you want to charge anyway, who cares?
Okay.
If I could have 3 units of those, no Black Orcs, I would.
Yep. You got your Wolf Chariots, so they are, now to get this right, because the army builder was wrong with this. Okay. They have two attacks each, one shot, so the goblins on wolves with three hits and a 6-hour armor save. They're cavalry at the end of the day, and they can often do things that only cavalry can.
But I think they're on a 15-inch shot, like other...
Yes, they are. They're all goblins.
Mickey Mouse cavalry.
Yeah, yeah. So they come in at 80 points. Is that right? Yeah, 80 points.
I think they're 60, and the wolf chariots are 80.
Yeah. Sorry, wolf chariots. And then so you got your wolf chariots, which are goblins on wolf chariots. Again, whatever chariots, you know, your normal thing. The one artillery piece is an orc rock lover, which it does three attacks out with no armor saves. It can't fire at charging enemies, and it's a catapult. Again, so...
It's not a cannon.
I took one... Because I take one of everything when I'm like doing this. Would I? I don't know if
I
would.
I didn't use any of them when I played.
It's like really with the list is another. Like I'm coming on to goblins. Is what do you do with the goblins? Maybe having them stand next to an artillery piece and like block lines of sight for you.
Like blink,
is it a good job for a goblin?
But it just doesn't do enough.
Yeah,
it's like the school chucker. That's a similar piece, but that causes confusion.
If you're
going to
take them, if you're going to take a chariot, a rock lobby, you need two of them, and you need to put them together. But then it's points, and you're risking them going to one flying charge. Okay. So I don't know. The main stray of the list is York Warriors and the Goblins. Orc Warriors are 60 points. You've got to take four in a 2,000 point list. They're four attacks, three hits, and six up armor. So they've got one extra attack than your halberdiers. And your Goblins are rubbish. They're 30 points.
But they're 30 points. What do you want for 30 points?
Two attacks with one shot. They can only range 15. Three hits, no armor. You've got to take four. And what do the Goblins do? Try not to die?
Yeah, like, two break points that you hide.
You know, they're like, they're good supporting infantry.
No, they're not,
because they might get into combat. You find a nice wood for them to hide in.
That's like, what happened. He put three units behind the trolls, and once the trolls
died,
started fighting, the goblins had to run and hide in their wood for the rest of the game.
Ah, boss, they're coming for us! It's like,
they really are not very good.
Yeah, you're just going to lose the goblins. Yeah,
but that's their job. Their job is, yes. If I was using them, I think I use them as like wounds on the front of a unit. I just kind of throw them away like I do with skinks. I'm not sure that's the correct method.
But again, a point to why you play War Master, something that like we reiterated before, is this whole, you must take them. And would you take them in a competitive list?
No.
If you didn't have to, of course you wouldn't. But you must take them in the game. And that is a good thing. It's just what, like skinks in a Lizardman army, what do you do with them? what do you do with them? In fact, comparing them to skinks is a very good thing, goblins.
The only difference is that skinks have 360 line of sight, and I think these are even worse. They don't even have that.
No. Okay, so we run down everything. That's what's in the walking goblin. There's also a chariot upgrade as well, whatever.
Okay, so strengths and weaknesses of orcs. They're certainly hitty. That is for sure. They're hitty, but they don't wear armour, so... That was what I would say. They're cheap.
Yeah.
Generally, they're hitty.
There is not a 4-up armor save in the entire list.
A way of getting a 4-up armor
save. Or a way of getting it.
No buffs.
No buffs, no tough.
Just more hitty. The buffs make them hittier.
Yeah, exactly. They benefit from more attacks, but they don't have more hits, generally. The elite infantry like unit have four hits, and that's it. So... Dwarves, they ain't.
But on the plus side, if you build a list that's big enough, you can certainly out-hit everything else and hopefully have enough stuff to not break.
Yeah, exactly. Like, your core unit is quite a good one, I think, in general. I'd say the strength of the list is making that numbers that you should hopefully have tell. So they're a big army to use initiative.
Get them near and let them just charge in.
Send them in, send more in afterwards, you know, like...
The difficulty is you send the front line on an initiative, and then you need an order to get the guys in supporting.
Yeah.
And that's horrific.
That's difficult for orcs.
And then a unit of orcs on its own, against the brigade of something else, is going to lose.
Yeah.
Even with its... Because it'll do a lot of damage, but it'll lose to the static combat resolution and the fact it takes hits like no tomorrow.
It'll attrition out quite badly.
Yeah. So there's quite an awkward actually army to play. I think the magic is fantastic. They've got some of the best magic, and they got access to four wizards, which you have to take. It's almost obligatory.
Randomly their strength is magic. You know, like they can put a lot of wizards on the table, and those wizards can be very flexible and can put a lot of pressure where you can't normally, and are very survivable if you have units for them to run back to.
I mean, like turn one, you could get wizards in position to cast four Geroths. before the guys even got time to move on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you can really mess things about with those.
So I'd say that, yeah, so their strengths is amount of attack dice and wizards. Weaknesses.
They're manifold.
Many. Their command is a massive weakness. Their armour is another weakness.
Because I've played Undead. Undead have a similar issue with command, but it's always 8. And the difference between always 8 and hopefully 8 is massive.
Yeah.
I mean, 8, you're doing well if you can keep it at 8 when you want it to go in. It's normally 7 or 6.
I think a simple fact is there's a... So if you have any trolls in the list, there's a unit in the list that if it's standing in a wood, for the enemy doing nothing else to you, you're unlikely to move it.
Because it's 6.
Because it'll be a 6.
And that's the
and
best.
It's like, that's the best you can get it without a magical item or something. And
that, God forbid you lose a stand or two.
That is bonkers, to use your word. It's like, so you literally cannot move these. You don't need the enemy to do anything.
No.
Like, at times, you just cannot do anything because you can't roll average. You can't roll under the average.
Yeah, I did that. I did that in the game we played last week where I put my 3 units of trolls in a brigade in a wood and they couldn't get out.
Yeah.
They had a hero dedicated to try and get them out and they just couldn't do it.
It's troll wood. Yeah, don't
it's
go
like,
in there.
I need a 6 to even get them out and there's no enemy near. It's just a 6.
Yeah.
We couldn't do it. The whole game, they couldn't do it. We said we'd mention about Paul with the Crown of Command. That is basically, it's like an auto addition. I know you have to get your breakpoint up, but you have to find 100 points to get that item in.
As I say, their Orc General benefits from it the most compared to everybody else's general. So, and because, as I say, like, reiterate, it's unmodified, so it doesn't matter for distance, nothing else. You get so off on a 10.
You've got a unit with trolls in it that have got enemy near, and they're in
wounds.
A wood. Yeah, the take a wound, and your general's 60 centimetres away, it's still a 10 for that first order, which is bonkersly good for orcs and goblins.
Exactly. And so, we're going on to this, like, why play orcs? So, you've got to love the fluff of them, you've got to love the character of them. If you like a predominantly infantry army, really, with a right mixture of stuff in the list, and you like the chaotic nature of them, that's why you would play orcs. I mean, you can do well with them. You can do well with any Warmaster army, but it is difficult. Like, at times, you'll play those games where your army defeated itself.
Sure.
You know, because it just didn't do anything, and the enemy could just take you apart piecemeal. It would be an interesting one to repeatedly play to get a best orc list out for maximum efficiency. And also, why play orcs? Models are lovely. Orc companies do... Plenty of companies do alternative models for orcs.
Yeah.
There's a Polar Fox, which is a little tiny company, which does some beautiful orc and goblin models. He's a one-man show, and orcs and goblins are his only list army he's got. But a Polar Fox army looks fantastic on the table. And also, you know, other mainstream companies, Manistrum, Millistrum and stuff, do tons of orc alternatives. You could also pick up orc models from the original, like, Lord of the Rings battle set.
Yeah, they're quite pricey, though.
There's ways to get hold of the models quite easily. And with a bit of creativity, your, like, giant could be whatever you want it to be. Like, I've seen an Orc and Goblin list that had a homemade giant spider as its giant.
An arachnid.
Yeah, like, that was the giant, and it worked perfectly. So, I think mostly you're going to play Orcs because you enjoy that randomness in an army list. So good for a one-day event. I don't know. You got to look at yourself for a two-day event. I would think, like, repeated play with these guys are you really sold? Like me, for example, I'm really, when we come on to Skaven, I'm really sold with Skaven. That's my favourite army list. Favourite army character in the Oldhammer world. So I would play Skaven repeatedly, even despite all their problems. Okay.
They may or may not have.
We haven't been there yet. But, like, this is why you play Orcs, is you're gonna want to, because I wouldn't say it's not a first army to pick up, really. Yeah.
But what I'd say why you would play Orcs and Goblins is that they're very, very flexible. You've got, like, I know Paul said you'd like infantry armies, but I think you could quite easily build a cavalry, wolf rider, chariots armies. Because
the Boar Riders and Wolf Riders are min-max 0, so you can have...
And the chariots are 3, thousands. You could have 6 of those.
You could have, that's very true. You could build a very mounted
Orc and Goblin. It's got a lot of flexibility built in. It's It's very hitty. It looks pretty good on the table, to be fair. You generally have a lot of stuff.
It's very colourful. Okay, I mean, orcs and goblins are traditionally green, and there's a lot of colourful units in amongst there. You can obviously have great fun making even orc and goblin themed scenery if you wanted to.
What I would say is don't play them if you get frustrated by things not doing what you want. I mean, that happens a bit in Warmaster anyway. It doesn't matter what your leadership is. But these are especially problematic. If you like stuff to behave, this is not the army for you.
No, it's not disciplined. But to some, that appeals. Okay, so I think we've wrapped up the Orcs is the Best podcast. So,
We need to talk about your event in Colchester on the January the 9th.
Yes,
indeed. How many have you got signed up?
We're now running at 14 paid away from me. And I've commissioned a trophy to be done. Recently, we have a set of the Core 1 rulebook, which we're now using. So basically, I have gotten hold of a copy of the rulebook, which has been reorganised and with all the erratas into it, and the Saffron Walden style composition pack, which is the alternative rules for setup, which we are using in future events. So basically, what I'm saying is I've got this copy of this rulebook, which down at Staples down the road prints off a copy, binded, quite nice for £13, and that is the one rulebook you will need.
To rule them all.
So I originally wanted to give away a copy to everybody, and prize support has gone into the trophy. So what I'm probably going to do is just say to people at the event, I can give you, you can get copies of this for £13, let me know, and this is the one book you're going to need from now on, and this is not going to change.
Okay.
So, and I think that's just to point out, and obviously to reiterate, if you hadn't heard the last podcast, I'm running this Warmaster tournament in Colchester, January the 9th, at the Independent Store for TK.
And it's £10, and it should be a good event. Three rounds, and I'm playing.
Includes lunch.
I'm not sure what I'm playing yet. And it includes lunch for £10, and a trophy, and tons of prize support.
Yes, so. I'd say, I've got a lot of prize support. So the first, second, third, we'll be getting not GW miniatures, but alternative companies miniatures. Okay. So there's things to win.
Right, so if you're interested in sending feedback, you can leave comments on iTunes, I guess. Try and make them positive if possible. Or you can contact us at warmaster.podcast@gmail.com or the warmaster.podcast Facebook page. So apart from that, it's just time to say thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
And we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, see you soon.
Bye. Oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Shut up.